Hakan, because it's, of course, it's not so serious question. It's just I was wondering recently, for example, at Arsutas there were many monks during the Buddha discourses, and they didn't have this stuff like loudspeakers. How they hear the Buddha from the distance? Many disciples, like 1,000 arahants. How they could hear him from distance?
By conditions.
By conditions.
I heard once they would repeat it back.
Not necessary. Yeah, by conditions. Yeah. Because you see that the Buddha could have anyone near or far as could hear him. No problem with his voice.
He had a divine ear.
Mm-hmm.
Divine ear. Yeah.
No, he himself, the Buddha.
Yeah.
This morning, question about the energy, because I see that you feel very healthy the whole day, even that you travel a long time, but me, I sleep much longer. So where you can get energy and you can...
By condition.
You can explain about something about the energy.
Very famous temple, Wat Arun Temple.
What is this?
Oh, yeah.
Wat Arun Temple.
It's Pagoda. Pagoda, yeah.
Temple.
Very, very nice. And
you lived here and before, but you never climbed up.
And this is the Navy. Can be landmark of Thonburi.
Landmark. How long ago, Ajahn, the Theras elders came here to preach Dhamma?
No idea. I am not good in number, years and date. Yeah.
More than 40 years, anyway.
40 years.
More than
40 years.
More than 40 years.
Because Ajahn Neb taught her Abhidhamma, and then Ajahn Neb asked her to do a class, to teach in the class. And then she went to different temples. I met her at Bap Manhattan.
Over there is a place where I came to see my teacher.
Ajahn Neb.
Ajahn Neb, yes.
I know her teachings also. This, where Ajahn, you met Ajahn Naeb?
No, further.
Further, not the temple.
Not this one.
Okay. When it was Ajahn?
Yeah.
It was long ago?
Long time ago. And she let us know where it's
What?
Watratang, the place where I came to see Ajahn Naeb. Every Thursday.
No.
Watratang.
She said, Ajahn Naeb, do not change position. Why?
Then you won't know dukkha.
She knows.
You won't know dukkha.
If you change, you don't know dukkha. But if you do not change, you know dukkha.
Okay. Is it true?
You find out.
Yes.
I don't
find out yourself.
So.
Not according to the Buddha's teaching. Yeah.
But except that fact, Ajahn Neb was quite right, I think, because many meditation teachers, and this time it's like the evaluating Dhamma, but she teaches still Nama and Rupa.
She taught Dhamma wisely.
Why?
But it depends on understanding whether what she taught agree with the teachings of the Buddha or not. One has to have Buddha as one's refuge, no one else.
Ajahn, could you say more, explain one object at the time?
Citta arises one at a time or many at a time?
Well, one at a time.
So, citta experience an object at a time by Ekakata Cetasika. One-pointedness on just one object. So citta experiences that with ekakata chaitasika.
And it cannot be different like many objects per time.
What do you mean?
I think because now it seems like many objects per time.
How many chitas are there?
Well, it seems like many, many chitas.
Because usually one pays attention to the object but not to the chitta. So it seems like there are now many objects, but actually there are many chittas as well.
And is it wrong, not correct, to pay attention to the object? Because, for example, seeing has object, a rupa.
Okay, what do you mean by wrong? You need a rule or what? Or the truth?
The truth.
And the truth is that one chitta arises and it experiences only one object, with many chetasikas.
While then is awareness, there must be awareness of an object.
Because chitta arises and experiences that object.
So what do you mean that we pay attention to the object usually, not a chitta?
Like now, what chitta is there? Well, you can say what appears, see? But you cannot tell what chitta is there.
Yes. Because it was said that the object of awareness is kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma.
Where are they? Kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. Where are they?
I don't know.
So, no awareness. It does mean that what Buddha taught should be just remember and recite. It's not like that at all. Each word should be understood of a reality which that word represents. For example, citta. Citta does not represent cetasika or rupa. It represents that which now experiences an object, one at a time. So what we learned from the teaching can be understood right now. When we talk about any word, it's now and here.
Ajahn, do you think that remembering dhammas in life, I mean like reading a book, remembering how there is citta, cetasika and rupa helps in life?
When you know that the teachings of Buddha are not just to remember, to be remembered, not to memorize, but to really understand whatever appears now. His teachings is for that. Understand what you read, and now it's now here. Like seeing in the book you read, but now they're seeing. So the point is to understand that which sees.
Mm-hmm. So we should learn what it means through life.
And understand what he taught was about now. Like seeing now, hearing now, thinking now, everything. Vitakka now, vichara now, all chetasikas now.
So remembering, the useful remembering is when it's marked with understanding.
Only with understanding. Like yesterday we talked about vitakka. It does mean that we know that vitakka arises with almost every citta. But why? And it is the citta now? That's the point. To know that vitakka thinking is not self. So what everyone learned is just to have understanding of whatever appears now. Otherwise, it's useless.
And meditation is like the self thinking about
self.
What do you mean by meditation? Again? Yeah.
Thinking.
The most important thing is right understanding. Otherwise, it's useless to have lots of words which does not lead to understanding at all. So, as the most important thing is to understand whatever appears in life from birth to death, we need something to help to understand.
Dhamma.
Mm-hmm. You call it Dhamma, but it's whatever appears now, which is real. And so, what is meditation? Can it bring any understanding of reality right now? Otherwise, it's useless, because each moment passes. You remember yesterday, see? We went to many places yesterday, but today, today you do not have yesterday anymore. Where was yesterday? All yesterday happenings. And now, yes, and now it will be yesterday when tomorrow comes. Yeah, tomorrow is yesterday. Exactly the same. Nothing is left. Like yesterday's happenings do not left at all. Are not left at all. Just one moment, shorter than that, each moment appear and disappear. So he said, like a dream, when one wakes up, nothing there. So when tomorrow comes, no more whatever happens. Yeah. So in case of one thing about the tomorrow and now, it's only yesterday for tomorrow. That's all. Less clinging. Like yesterday, many moments of clinging, and now where are the clingings? But it's accumulated and accumulated. So what one gets from pleasure and pleasant object is only attachment, added and added, accumulated and accumulated. From moment to moment, from life to life. And it seems like one gets many things from each moment, but actually one gets akusala. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Attachment, aversion of whatever akusala dharma is there. So now akusala dharma sprinkle on citta, each moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. Life to life, see, from moment to moment. Past, see, everything's gone, even just a moment. That's why it's not in the book to be recited, but to understand each word. Citta is not cetasika, so kaya nupasana, vedana nupasana, citta nupasana, and dhamma nupasana are different. And if there is no understanding of citta, can there be the citta nupasana satipatthana? Everyone knows that everyone has citta, but it does not appear at all to right understanding. So can right understanding begin to understand and become gradually detached from taking it for I or mine? So it's not just the books or recited the words from the book, but understand it. Because now it appears. And for hardness, when hardness appears now, what vipassana, anupassana or mahasatipatthana is there? Hardness.
Hardness, that's kaya.
Where? At the body. But when it's not at the body, it's not kaya anupassana satipatthana. Do you take this for you? What is hard?
It's not hard.
It's not. Is it hard?
Yes.
But do you take it for you or my body?
No, but I only take my finger for my body.
Does it appear? Hardness at the finger, does it appear?
Yes, mine.
No. Can the hardness at your finger appear now?
Yes.
No. How do you know that it's hard when there's no touching?
Well, now also feel touching in my finger.
No. What touched this?
Now I don't know, but it's touching.
No. Otherwise there must be hardness touch all over the body all the time.
Yeah, but I feel hardness like now.
You think.
But for example, inside I feel a hardness inside my hand now.
Are you now feeling that?
Yes.
You want to feel that hardness?
No, but I feel hardness inside my hand.
Is it pain?
No, it's hard.
Is it pleasant, sukha or dukkha?
I don't know.
Because you see that when the body consciousness, there must be sukha or dukkha with it.
Yes.
But now, can you tell whether it's sukha or dukkha?
No, I cannot tell.
So it's not the body consciousness?
Oh, it's not the body awareness now. I mean, it's not
even
awareness.
The body consciousness must be accompanied by the sukha.
Oh, it's
or
not
dukkha.
Alone.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But while the rupa is, the, for example, softness or hardness is the object of awareness, can
when
we
it's
say
touched, it's... When it's touched.
But what do you mean by touched?
If you do not touch, can it appear?
No, but I mean, for example, there is touch inside the hand without any external object.
Does it appear now?
No, as it is, no. But
so, when does it appear?
As it is.
Only that.
Only
that. Only that. But when it does not appear, no one can think that it's there, even thinking.
Okay, so it's just unknown.
It can be known only through body consciousness.
Okay. So the body doesn't feel anything, actually.
Because it's body. It cannot feel.
Okay. Why is it feeling it's better now?
I thought that Andhakaya and Upasana Satipatthana, all rupas, also other rupas, not of the body, but maybe that's abstract.
But what, why is Kaya then?
Yeah, Kaya
it
is
has,
body.
Yeah, and hardness, which is not taken as body, is Dhamma and Upasana
Satipatthana. Yeah, oh, I thought it was all on the
If Kaya. We don't specify whether it's Kaya or whatever, all are Dhamma.
Yes. And then it's an abstract way thinking about it, if you say all rupas.
Yeah.
Because where, how are the experiences?
So
when?
We have to understand the subject, kaya nupasana sipatana, concern what you take for body.
What you take for body, so.
Yeah. It seems as if seeing, no matter what the change of situation, there is something the same all the time. I don't know.
It's thinking at that moment.
We're thinking, but it's like that
it arises only one at a time, and it experiences only one object at a time. When the object is unknown, it's bhavanga. Or moha mulajita.
What I'm trying to say is that it's like there is something consistent in the experience, even though the thinking about what is there changes from situation to situation.
It's thinking. Yeah, that is thinking.
But it seems as if that is true for, you were talking about hardness, is that the thinking that hardness as hardness starts to be the same also. It's like not
the same one at all, different ones. Because hardness arises and falls away, and another hardness arises and falls away.
Yes, but there are many experiences of hardness in a day.
It doesn't matter at all. It depends on conditions. As right understanding sees that, thus understanding is not disturbed by such idea.
Not to be disturbed, but to think the same.
Yeah.
Maybe about hardness is hardness.
So, it's not self, it's not my body.
Yes, thinking more that it is not. Just,
it has to be like that from the very beginning until Panya develops the power of very gradually to see that even that is just a moment of thinking, no one there. Otherwise, I all the time who thinks.
So you could talk about realities in terms of anatta because they fall away or because they are conditioned?
Anicchang, thukkhang, anatta for all conditioned reality. And for Nibbana, is anatta as well. Even it's not anicchang, thukkhang. It's nicchang and sukkhang and anatta.
Can you say that again, sir?
For all conditioned realities, they are anicchang, not permanent, dukkhang, and anatta. But Nibbana is anatta, but it's not dukkha, it's sukha, and it's not anicchang, it is nicchang.
So it's because they're both conditioned then?
Nibbana is not conditioned, but it's still anatta.
Certainly. Yeah, no self. Is it you? Is Nibbana you? Mm-hmm. Or a thing or whatever?
Some say it's anatta because it falls away. It's anatta because there is no self, no thing in it. It's just a dhamma.
It's just the understanding.
The rising and falling away.
It's an element, different elements.
So when they say that the three characteristics are experienced clearly after the arising and falling away, in what sense the anitta is understood with the realizing of the arising and falling away of dhamma?
Of nimitta. Because without paramada, there is no nimitta. That's why only Nibbana is not nimitta.
Can you be nimitta of panya?
Any conditioned dhamma.
All dhammas have.
Okay, so that would be a condition for thinking about what appears with thinking with right understanding.
I think the point is it's the nimitta that is known, because the reality itself has fallen away, so it's the nimitta of the reality which is understood, which is known.
Yeah, I tended to think it was only related to realities that appeared through the sense doorways, but it's there's nimitta of
all conditioned dhammas.
Of conditioned realities.
So nimitta of the realities can be known.
Because in the mind door, it's always the nimitta of the reality. The reality itself has always fallen away, so it must be the nimitta. Directly, yes.
That's it.
The one animita dhamma.
Yes.
So, Chan, this nimitta is not only due to the rapidity, or is there some other cause for nimitta?
And anyone experience just citta at a time, only one citta at a time, because it rises and falls so rapidly. So that which appears is only the succession of the arising and falling. That's what we call nimitta.
Right, but there's also the fact that the mind door experiences what has already fallen away.
Who knows that? Because you know that everyone thinks a lot about reality, try to find out, but what about now? if there is no understanding of reality right now, it's impossible to understand what's meant in the Tipitaka or the words. Even right now, we know that after the sense door process has fallen away, there must be mind door, just follow after Bawanga. And Bawanga do not appear at all, and other citta does not appear. So what is now appearing? So we can say that all are nimitta of that which arises and falls away. And since we know that the hardness is experienced through the body sense and also mind, but even so, can anyone distinguish the difference between sense door, but the body sense door and mind door? So just understand as much as one can do the reality which is not self.
Level of vipassana jnana that one can, that the mind door can appear.
Can appear, but even so, it's so fast that one can understand the rupa which appears without thinking whether there is sense or mind.
I think you said before, it's, even though it's not thinking whether it's sensed or mind, or but it knows at that moment whether it appears through sense or mind.
Whether it's sense or mind.
Later, one can say that it's my door.
Not to say anything, yeah. Because you see that since there's no doubt about my door, so you know the difference by that way. Because now it seems like there's no my door at all, but actually, my door is in between all processes. So this is the very, what you call it? Not true at all.
Now, the sense door appears.
What kind of
logic? It doesn't appear. But at some point...
It has appeared.
Yeah, it can appear to Panya and Pan.
Yeah. What and like when?
When Panya is developed to that degree.
It hasn't developed to that degree, so it's only thinking and imagining. Yeah?
And it can be known.
Pardon?
And it can be known, this thinking and imagining.
At moment of thinking, does anyone realize that it's not self who thinks or which thinks at all? That's why when the citta appears to Panya, no doubt about whether it's seeing or hearing or thinking, because in darkness is there, experiences an object. The inside world is very dark, but the outside world does not appear as that at all.
And when you can know nimitta as nimitta?
No word. At all,
no,
because without the Paramada Dhamma, no nimitta. So what appears is the nimitta of Paramada Dhamma, if one knows that it's nimitta. But since they appear like the sound and the echo, who knows which one?
It's just the characteristic of the reality, so a visible object appears
so
at that moment.
So what knows it? What knows?
Panya.
It doesn't matter.
A visible object appears and
how it works. In terms of development awareness, it has no significance. Whether it's the nimitta or the reality.
I would have thought it was very important
with anything about nimitta at all, you know that it's Paramada Dhamma. But since you know the succession of the arising and falling away, so now you understand that it's not only Paramada. Yeah, right.
The visible object that appears in the eye door process, or the nimitta visible object that appears in the following mind door process, is absolutely no significance. It's just the characteristic of visible object that appears exactly the same, so no one can know which process is a. Rises in.
But it, no, actually, I don't think it's all. I don't know if it was on the worry list, but it actually, I don't know whether this is right thinking or not, but it seems that it enables...
Whether it's right thinking, when there's understanding, it understands. No need to try to find out whether it's right thinking or not.
It seems to enable some understanding.
Depends on one's own understanding.
There's a tape of a discussion in India when Ajahn spoke about nimitta, and we who were there, Penny dropped for the first time that she was talking about awareness of nimitta. And we all said, oh, Jesus, nimitta, this is really interesting. And so we pursued it more and more. But the conclusion at the end is, you know, after you get all the explanation, is that it doesn't make any difference. It's always been nimitta. It'll always be nimitta in practical terms. And Ajahn's been mentioning it for years, if not decades, but no one actually kind of picks it up.
I remember that discussion, actually, but I don't think the penny dropped.
Yeah. Until now.
There's something I haven't picked up. Nimitta is not a paramattha dhamma, is it?
A paramattha dhamma. But you don't have, to think of nimitta. Just be aware of the characteristic. That's what I learned.
Asking these questions sometimes can condition a lot of doubt.
I mean, there is doubt.
There is doubt.
Yes.
And in the future, it's just accumulating more doubt. And how can that, and doubt is an obstacle.
Why did Buddha tell us about nimitta and paramattha dhamma? Because that is the way it is. To see that they're all dhammas, no self, even who is reading or hearing it, no self who hears and no self who reads. This is the point, the most important point is to understand what is there when he talk about this or that. Like nimitta, see, instead of trying to find out whether nimitta is paramattha dhamma or so on, but it's not, see. It indicates that no one can pinpoint a moment of experiencing an object or the object itself.
That's what it is now, no matter what we call it, that's all.
It seems more helpful than making more doubt. That's just an observation.
I mean, what appears now, and then you're wondering if this is nimitta or reality?
No.
Question then. Just understand nimitta and paramattha dhamma the way it is. Yeah.
Another reality, another dharma, and it can be known at that moment too, so it's conditioned.
Pakatu panisaya
pacho. Yeah, pakatu panisaya
pacho. Pakatu panisaya
pacho.
I feel like
you're sitting there pushing a button every once in a while. Play the recording again.
But it is like this, Pakatu Panisaya Pacho.
What is the longest Pachaya?
Longest Pachaya?
The word.
It's having this natural disease support condition.
Of object.
Maramanu Panisaya Pachaya.
It gets longer. It can be longer.
Tupurecha tapasya. What tupurecha tanisya pajya?
Pajya. Is there something like this?
Yeah. Nasya is the place where citta arises.
Sorry, what word, Ajahn? What word, nasya?
The depending reality. Whatever is dependent on that is nisya pajya. Even the Mahabhuta Rupa, the earth, Patvi is nisya pajya for the apo, tejo, and vayo, because without Patvi, there is no vayo, tejo, vayo. And it's not just rupa, even citta and jetasika is also nisya pajya. And more than that, they arise together, so they are Sahachata and Andiyamanya and so on. That's why when one understands one reality, one can understand Dipajya too, little by little. Like almost every citta arises at the heart base, right? And the heart base arises before citta, which depends on it. So it is Purechata, Purechata, Nisaya Pachaya. That's all in Pali. When there's understanding.
Pachaya?
I don't remember the English word for Pachaya, so I use only Pali term. Yeah. Vattu first, Pattaya Vattu, Purechata arise before, and Nisaya.
Only Patisandhi Chitta arises at the same moment, produced, not karma produced.
Otherwise, it other must be Vattu, Purechata, Nisaya. But for Patisandhi Chitta, it is Sahachata, not Purechata.
You can use
Pali
term when you understand. It's not wrong.
The
cosmos. I think other way.
I read it in the
surveys. Rupa, isn't it? That arises now? Okay. By post-nascence. So I don't know what kind of post-nascence condition.
In Pali term, better, what to, you know, heart base, Purechata.
She's asking about post-nascence condition, not Purechata, the other one, post-nascence, when it's a condition for that which has arisen already.
So I thought I didn't understand it at all. Can you help me ask the question?
I've just forgotten the name in Pali of the post-nascence condition. What is the Purechata is pre-nascence condition. Post-nascence condition is, I've just forgotten the name.
Purechata?
No, post-nascence.
Pachachata.
Pachachata. So can we have an example of Pachachata?
Chitta arises at the...
Okay, like...
Pachachata is only Chitta Chetasika.
Can one say that Chitta is Pachachata, Pachya for what?
For the Rupa, because the Rupa has already arisen.
So the Rupa, when the Rupa is seen.
Is dead and then dead.
What would happen if that jitta didn't arise? The rupa that is, can we say, in other words, it's difficult to see that it is actually conditioning in it in any way, because the rupa has arisen, it will last for 70 moments and it will fall away.
It seems like nothing to do with jitta and jetasika at all, but since they arise together, depending on one way or another.
Okay. I think it just means it experiences the reality that has already arisen, that's all.
The Vattu is also Rupa, so it's...
There are six Vattu. Six Vattu, which means the place where Jitta is originated.
It's a Prasada Rupa. It's a Rupa.
Five.
So it's 17. It only
six,
arise for 17 moments of Jitta also. Right?
Are we talking about the Vattu?
Yeah.
There are six Vattus. Yeah, the five and the heart base.
So it doesn't receive the object.
No, it's rupa. Just
it has to coexist when the jitta has the object of a rupa also.
In these five khandas, the world, the citta must arise at rupa, because the eye, seeing consciousness arises at the eye,
the
sadha.
Consciousness observes arupa.
The seeing consciousness arises at the jaku pasada, which at that moment is jaku watu, because citta arises there.
And all the other sampatichanamas arise at the heart dish. And the heart base.
It only has to be there for one.
It's not so difficult.
No.
What was your question? What was your doubt?
No, not doubt.
No doubt.
Did you say you were having a discussion about visible object before, Nina? Do you want to?
It is so small, the visible object. And you mentioned before you can see it.
The prasada rupa is a rupa, so it has to coincide with the arising of the rupa that is the object.
That is visible.
They have to exist at the same time. That's the only point I was contemplate.
Yeah, but they arise just before seeing consciousness.
Yes, they have to arise before seeing consciousness. Yeah, yeah. And now I understand that not all the jittas go through that phase, so it's only the seeing consciousness. Each has its own phase.
But you had another question about the visible object, which is so strange. You remember?
No.
Oh, and you were wondering how it can impinge when it is so tiny.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is the question? I don't have a question. It's Nina who is talking about how small the visible object. How small it is.
So that it can be seen.
And that it can be
seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
By Ajita, which is also very fast.
Very fast. Yes.
Very, very fast.
But many times it arises again and again. But we don't count.
So that everything is there at the same moment to allow.
So it's a miracle. Like Ajahn says, it's like a miracle how it comes together. By conditions, it is. Mm-hmm. He often says, there is nothing, and then there is something, and then there is nothing again. Where does it come from? By conditions. But when you think, consider it, it is a miracle. Yeah. Many miracles in life.
It comes from ignorance. There was sutta about what's the beginning of this whole samsara, and the Blessed One said it cannot be pinpointed what's the beginning, how many lifetimes the beings are in the circle, but the ignorance is the cause of this whole samsara.
It's like the one who's shot by an arrow and do not want just to take the arrow off until one knows what it's made or something like that. This is Jesus. One just better take it off before thinking about that.
But how does it help to think about visible object as so small? Because when visible object appears, there's no idea of big or small.
No, we better
just
not
that
think.
Which appears.
We better not think.
Can we not think?
But
better
we do.
Not. But we can do that.
It depends, again, on conditions.
And we shall not complain, because we are in conditioned world, conditioned Dhamma.
And it's not only in the book.
What was the, at the very beginning, you were saying something to Ajahn about monk and the yellow robe, and I think there was some comment or giving.
Any, I just spoke.
Making an offering.
I cannot tell.
It is giving.
Maybe, yeah, but then I cannot recall that at all, you know. It's just fast and it sure shall
but
be done.
Kusala Chittan, that cannot be done. Yeah. But there must be other moments of other different chittas too.
But we don't have to know which ones are the Kusala ones and which ones are the others.
Chitta is not known yet as not self.
Right.
Because it's beyond what one can imagine, that which arises and experience. No need of flight or any environment at all, just by conditions. It's tattu, the tattu of experiencing. Whenever it arises, it experiences an object.
But we are so used to the idea that the development of the path is all about the development of kusala, different kinds of kusala. So that's perhaps why we are so attached to the idea of wanting to know what is kusala, what is kusala, what is akusala.
To be called, just to call it, not to know it.
To develop it.
From. Just thinking?
It would be just
and
thinking.
Clinging to
It's clinging. It's clinging to wanting to have more kusala.
To have more works of kusala. Because you don't know whether that is kusala moment.
You don't.
Yeah. So it's only clinging to that you take for kusala.
Right. But you kusala. Want to know whether it's kusala or not. That's also the clinging, the attachment to having more understanding.
So we can say that lopa is cheating dhamma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Likes very much kusala also.
But not, yeah. If it's not kusala, but cheats, to be kusala.
I appreciate what you just said, Jonathan. However, when in your book about the parami, there is much that is helpful in understanding at the level of thinking when something that maybe one thought was dana is not dana at all. It's because there's thinking about reward or how
wanting to give.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is the descriptions in the book about the parami kind of made help some understanding of how very far away the perfections are.
Again, I'm thinking, yeah.
Well, but on any level, that. It is so easy to be taking self for metta or dana or...
But just learning just for the sake of understanding, that's all. Not thinking about whether it's kusala or akusala, I or not. Just understand.
Can we distinguish between theoretical understanding of what is kusala and the fact that there will inevitably be moments of akusala and like impurities, as it were, arising on the one hand, and on the other hand, wanting to know when kusala is, when some act of kusala is being performed, wanting to know how much kusala is there and how much akusala?
Perhaps, or that when there is some theoretical understanding of all the things that actually make the giving imperfect or whatever, that thinking can arise at that time, and there can be some theoretical understanding of how it's not dana at that moment.
Well, it's not pure dana.
Not pure dana, right. Dana, yeah. Yes, yeah. Or pure metta. Yeah.
And that's why I think I made the comment yesterday that that kusala is purified by the development of understanding,
mm-hmm.
not by knowing the kusala moments from the akusala.
Yes.
I'm saying kusala is purified by the development of understanding rather than by knowing which moment is kusala, which moment is akusala, that level of knowledge, which is level of samatha. The actual purification comes from development of insight. So our kusala, can only be as pure as understanding has been developed so far. And the idea of having more kusala by virtue of knowing kusala from our kusala is not actually how it works.
No.
Yeah. That's as far as I can understand it, yeah. Is that right, Nina?
The understanding conditions, but you don't have to think so much about it. Only when there are conditions that arise. In daily life, we don't think now, kusala now, or what. We don't think so much about it.
Kusala dhamma, kusala dhamma, avyakata dhamma.
And that moment of thinking is not moment of understanding, that citta. That's why one can see the difference between seeing and thinking, hearing and thinking.
Can you say that when we hear the explanations about all kinds of realities, such as kusala and akusala, it can condition the understanding later on when each reality arises as kusala or akusala?
There are many, many dhammas. What can be known as it is? The word or the reality or a characteristic. For example, even we say many, many times about seeing is nama, use the word nama, and that which is seen is rupa. Does it help? By thinking the seeing is nama and visible object is rupa. But in reality, I think that it's not a matter of trying to remember the word and find out, but at moment of beginning to understand now seeing, because they're seeing, and you will never understand it if you just keep on thinking about it all the time without beginning to understand. No, nothing else, only now, that which sees. And we don't have to pinpoint to, otherwise it's yourself again who's trying to find out where is it. So it's very subtle to know that the understanding is the understanding of a characteristic, like visible object is not the seeing. This is theoretical understanding. But at this moment of seeing, or this moment of visible object appearing, there can be the understanding of the characteristic, which are different. Because that which is seen is only that which can be seen. And that which now sees cannot be other moments. It cannot be thinking, it cannot hear, it cannot like or dislike. But at moment of seeing, just very common, as usual. One come closer to understand by not forget that it is that which sees, a reality. Be a characteristic of each to be known as it is. Like visible object now is known as it is because there is sound and sound cannot be heard. So by attending to different characteristics of different realities, no need to say that this one is nama and that one is rupa, because their characteristics appear as they are, as different.
And the same way, for example, the characteristic of attachment appears, no need to say, well, this is akusala, etc., and the characteristic of metta appears, no need to say this is metta, but actually different characteristics can appear without thinking about whether it's kusala or akusala. It has its characteristic, which can appear at that moment.
Try to learn to understand a characteristic of a reality, so one can know the characteristic as that which can experience or that which cannot experience, instead of saying nama and rupa. But when it's wrong starting or beginning, one learns the word first, like seeing is nama and this word is rupa, no meaning. It's not one's own understanding of a characteristic which sees and a characteristic which is seen.
Extent of the recalled Dhamma can become an object of understanding or not at all? Only the present Dhamma or the recalled Dhamma?
Is a word, right? What does it represent? Dhamma means what? It
means realities, now.
So, Dhamma is whatever is real. It has its own characteristic.
So, for example, when we, let's say, recall of our anger yesterday, for example, at that moment the sanya is the reality. But can, when we recall the anger, there seem to be also some
sanya.
Sanya marks. Sanya knows that now is Achan.
This is the answer for your question, when one knows what is it. Right?
Not from yesterday, yeah. But what recalls about what happens yesterday night, like now I can think about, okay, yesterday we are going on the bus and the driver didn't know. That is also
thinking of sanya.
We have to call it sanya in order to know that it remembers. Yeah. If one does not know the word or the name sanya, but that one, that moment one remembers, that's
just that characteristic, that just that dharma which remembers.
Oh, not sanya.
Bev, you probably couldn't hear that conversation, but it was about sanya.
I heard.
Okay, so we had a brief chat the other day about sanya and about the situation where a person cannot recollect the immediate past or can't remember familiar words, and whether that is a sanya is functioning at that time.
Even right now.
Do you remember that conversation?
What?
Yes. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
Thanks, Bob.
Yes. Yes. And I remembered the first day at Hua Hin, and we talked about sanya. I did ask Ajahn about that same question. But I can't remember what Ajahn said.
So, not the word, but at any moment there is remember, memory. Mm-hmm. You don't have to call it sanya, but it's there. Its function is to remember all marks.
Even when we don't remember.
Yes, there is sanya, because we know that we don't remember. See, sanya is always there.
Yeah, I remember you said that sanya always arises. Mm-hmm. But we were talking of a situation when people have memory loss. So they're talking to you and they can't say the word spoon. But if I said to them spoon, they know, oh yes, that's the word I needed to use.
but out of their memory, what we call memory.
When it's our memory, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not there.
Yes.
But from memory itself, it marks each object whenever citta experiences that.
It's different from conventional usage of memory, you see?
I realize that Sanya is different from conventional use of memory, but I was just...
So don't take Sanya as memory, just whenever memory is there, you don't have to call Sanya, but it's there. That is Sanya itself.
It's just a dream that I'm in my thinking, what happens with people who... don't have
is it ignorance?
So we talk small than we really understand or know the reality. We can talk about Sanya and other jetasikas without understanding its characteristic. When it appears like now, you remember who's this and that is Sanya already.
I thought memory is Vito, not Sanya.
And what is Sanya?
Sanya is, it happens with every citta, to remember things, but it's witto, memorize things. That's my understanding.
Sanya marks the reality which is experienced, or the object which citta experienced at that moment. But it depends on vitaka, whether you can think of it or not. But Sanya cannot think, it just can remember or marks. For example, how many things are there in your house? You have to think, see? But Sanya marks already. Otherwise, there cannot be conditions for thinking about that particular one.
And now I do remember when I asked Ajahn, that first in Ho Hin about this, she did mention Buddha.
That is thinking about it, vitaka.
Yes.
And there must be Sanya, which remembers. Yeah. So without Sanya, there cannot be vitaka.
So at that moment of like not being able to recall, just vitaka, it's touching another object instead of...
In reality, vitaka arises after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, immediately. So it's not thinking in words. It touches the object, which it doesn't see.
And at that time of not recalling, still Sanya is marking its object.
Touch what should be recalled.
What should be recalled or what?
For example, when we try to, this is John in Thai, and then but there can be moments where I cannot recall John, but at that moment vitaka like just touch the other things, not the conceptual. Sanya is there, but
John is spoon.
Bowl cafe.
John. John cafe.
Bowl cafe. Don.
John.
Ham. Crab.
No one will give you that. No matter how many times you call or ask for it.
When you mention vitaka, in the case for Sanya, it depends on what vitaka is touching and.
Yes. Yes, with all jitas, and how can you know whether there is vitaka now?
We just don't know by knowledge. But in the case, because we were discussing about how to understand the situation when we cannot recall something, but Sanya is still there. So that Sanya is still there, but it just doesn't touch what should be recalled.
There must be Sanya. And at moment when there is doubt, is there Sanya? At moment that we cannot think about that which we would like to think about, is there Sanya? So So one can see that sanya arises with each citta, right? But vitakka, no matter what we call it, thinking or what or touching, it's a reality which arises after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, immediately, just follow the 10 jitas instantly, because it does not see, it does not hear, but it touches the object which is seen, receiving, having that object as its object, but not seeing it, but just touch it. That is vitakka with sampatichanna, and then vitakka with santirina, and vitakka and on, until it's the moment of thinking. One can understand that it's not I, it's not seeing, it's not hearing, but it's thinking. And without sanya at all, can there be thinking of such object? So at that moment, there's also sanya and vitakka. So you know at what moment you do not remember by sanya.
Like now, what realities are there now? This is what we always talk about.
Now it's a worry. Vitakka chetasik.
Kukuccha. Kukuccha. It's different. Worry is not the vitakka. Vitakka just thinks. It thinks about this and that. It can be with attachment or aversion, without worry, like thinking about pleasant moment, pleasant things. And in details, it arises just after seeing. So the characteristic of vitakka is not just that we can know, like thinking. And vitakka plays a very important role, an important part, because it helps on touching. So the object which is touched is experienced by citta until it becomes the factor of the Eightfold Path because of it touched correctly with right understanding. For example, right now, they're seeing and talk about seeing a lot, but it's not time for vitakka to come closer to touch thinking. As not thinking, but of touching, with understanding that this is that which sees, it sees at all. Sees, the see, very difficult, because usually one is engaged on the object which is seen all the time, thinking about that and this, but it's only each citta arises and falls away in split seconds, and performing different functions with different jetasikas.
So vitakka arises with almost every citta, every single citta except for seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So kusala citas, akusala citas, vipaka citas, kriya citas. But kukuccha only arises with dosa. So kukuccha only arises with unpleasant feeling, but vitakka can arise with pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling, almost every citta. And is the worry now, is it your worry, Tom's worry, or is it just a dhamma?
Just a dhamma.
Yeah. It's easy to say. Not so easy often, to know.
Yeah. So often it's like it seems like it's my worry or my problem, but actually it's just another condition, dhamma.
Just a condition which arises.
Right.
back to Tom's question and my question previous day, as there's a sanya, but we cannot remember what Achan said. So
as we know, the sanya arises with each citta. So it doesn't matter whether that citta can think or cannot think about anything, but sanya is there. So later on you know that at that time I cannot think, because sanya knows that moment as not being able to think about that you want to think about.
I want to think about this, not because of sanya.
Sanya arises with even at that very moment too.
Anatness, because it's not conditioned to arise.
It's by condition.
Yeah. We want a certain object, yes, to a certain concept to be the object of thinking at that moment, but we can't make that happen, because the only thing that can be object of thinking at that moment is what is conditioned to be object of thinking by conditions.
By condition.
Well, no, I hear the answer, but I don't understand it. I remember it, though. But when we say, normally, we think we can think, we can try to think of a word, and the word appears. Except, of course, there's time. By conditions, it doesn't. But it seems that, of course, some illnesses, like Alzheimer's or things like that, where it's more obvious that there's something broken, some the citta is broken or something.
What about names, for example? Often we can't remember a name. We don't think it's particularly significant or unusual or requires explanation. It's no different, I suppose, if it's just a common everyday object that we can't recollect the name of.
I'm curious, what is, we know sanya arises with every citta. I guess I'm still curious, what isn't working? Just thinking is functioning normally, or what?
We talk about just what we usually know about, like thinking and so forth, but when we're talking about reality, it's much different from what we think. For example, the word vitaka, see, in Thai it means worry, but actually it's a reality, which we can say that when there is thinking, there is vitaka, which thinks, but before that it also arises. Suddenly, the next moment follows the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So who can really understand the nature of vitaka? Because as much as we can understand, it's more, it's the moment of thinking that vitaka touches different story or subjects. Like now, no matter what one is thinking about, this or that, it's only vitaka, not you at all. So at that moment of thinking that I cannot remember, vitaka is there and sanya is there. All dhammas are there, but the idea of self covers up all realities. It has only the idea that I cannot remember. But there are so many realities at that moment. Citta and different cetasikas. One is not enough. It arises and falls away in split seconds. Conditioned idea. Different thoughts.
This is real speculation here, but if it's maybe vitaka touching wrong objects.
And it's conditioned by rupa, also,
I think
by the body.
I think we think of
in Alzheimer disease.
Don't know.
I think the point is that what I understand Ajahn to say is that
we think a lot about different situations, like situation where the memory is bad, or Alzheimer's, or someone's in a coma, or all these different situations. But in reality, as we know, there are just citta seekers and rupas, and there are conditions at each moment for different citta seekers to arise, and vitaka is arising almost every moment, conditioned to mark whatever object is experienced at that moment, and sanya arises at every single moment, marking and remember whatever object is experienced at that moment. And so it just depends on accumulated tendencies and conditions as to what is marked. And conventionally we say, well, the memory isn't remembering what it's meant to be remembering, but actually from a Dhamma point of view, sanya is arising at each moment, marking its object, and it's just our way of thinking that says this is the wrong object, this is the right object, or this situation we call outside. Sanya is just marking at each moment, and vitaka is leading to an object at almost every moment. So still just dhammas.
Vitaka arises and falls away almost all the time, see? And we talk about it, and we think things, not I at all.
Dan, why do we say that sanya marks and remembers? Why don't we just say it remembers? What is it?
Whatever you like. As long as you understand sanya is a reality, not you.
Different functions. Marking. What is marking? How is it different from remembering?
Without marking, can it remember?
I've got some kind of simile in my head, like the sanya. When you've got these cameras, old cameras on this old tape. So each frame, you know, old tape. So sanya is just marking one frame, only one frame, one object, one frame. It needs light to go to the camera. It goes through this tape, and one frame. And you've got whole movie later. One object per a time it marks, but later the whole movie goes. And it's sanya, we say it remembers. Yeah, because you see the movie.
Because it's identified.
But it's just one moment, so we cannot say how it is, yeah.
The marking and remembering they're different. Yes. Thank you.
So what is wrong sanya and right sanya?
Kusala and akusala.
Because in Vibhanga Pali, when the analysis of khandas, the first chapter starts, the Blessed One analyzes, there is Rupa Khanda, Vedana Khanda, Sanya Khanda, Sankara Khanda, Vijnana Khanda, and for each of them he gives a few instances and aspects, for example, for each of the Khanda. And when it comes to Sanya, it is that what is Sanya? This perception or Sanya that is past, future or present, that is internal or external, that is gross or subtle, that is inferior or superior, and what was that?
Near
on far. And then when it comes, what is distant sanya and what is proximate sanya and distant sanya. So distant is that sanya that, for example, comes with kusala, and with akusala is distant from kusala, is akusala. Akusala is distant from akusala. Or that sanya that comes with pleasant feeling, or neither pleasant nor pleasant feeling, is distant from that which comes with a bad feeling, with the unpleasant feeling. He analyzes everything, so we can say different moments. For example, kusala, different sanya than akusala, they are distant. But when there is kusala sanya, they are proximate. So different moments to learn that.
So in other words, whatever occasion, whatever situation we may be talking about, is just sanya of one kind or other, marking, remembering
sanya
its object,
khanda.
just khanda.
Yeah.
Just and each sanya is different, never the same. rises and falls away. That's why it's kanda, because it just rises and falls away, marks and remembrance of object, and then another sanya arises. And it's just the same whether we have good memory or bad memory or Alzheimer's or any other situation. It's just
that's
sanya
also
chitta,
that thinks. So we say chitta vipalasa and sanya vipalasa isn't ajar. Because sanya itself cannot think. And chitta also there. And different manasikaras also.
How do you learn all this?
I just read it a few days ago.
Or 4 years ago.
4 days ago.
4 days ago.
But it's
the sun is still marking.
Yeah.
Things about it.
But it's nice to see this different kind of classifications, like this, like that, this. Hetu dhamma, na hetu dhamma, it's to be learned.
Now. Of a reality which appears.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. What I mean is a reminder and vitaka.
And it's good to appreciate that what is good and bad memory in a Dharma sense has nothing at all to do with what is good and bad memory in a conventional sense.
I would like to ask one question about tough dhammas, hard times, tough dhammas. tough dhammas. I know where it's from Tipitaka, but I mean something like unpleasant mental contact or whatever. But I mean just a conventional situations, like sometimes it's a lot of mana, then regrets, tough moments.
Jitta?
Yeah, but
there must be jitta. And different jetasikas. And what do you think that is tough is feeling or what?
Feeling.
Dosa.
Yeah.
And idea of a self that's mine. Mine.
Yeah. Very easy when it comes to jitta, jetasika, rupa.
These moments are still citta cetasika rupa, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because then in such moments there is a lot of complaining on myself that I'm not like too good or something.
What are they?
Citta cetasika
rupa.
Yeah, but it's really, it's just some kind of really confused moments, like
thinking.
Yeah, thinking all the time like a trap, aversion. You know. Yeah. But, no control.
It's dhammas.
What are you going to say?
Excuse me?
Okay. Repeat it all the time. It's good for everyone to Bhagat Upanishya Pachaya. It's sound, but Pakatupanisya Pachi. What is not?
Everything.
One has to be sure, confirm, firm understanding.
Even different words, for example, it can be for this kind of tendency, and when I hear something different for that, someone telling me some praise, you know, and I just start to feel with mana, and it's just different ideas appear than hearing other words.
They're gone.
And not self, just.
So is it the words, or thinking about the words?
Yeah, something like this.
Since you are very interested in Pachaya, what Pachaya are now?
Aramana Pachaya.
Aramana Pachaya,
Hetu Pachaya.
And what else?
Tripalopadisya.
tendency of Pachaya all the time.
Aramana Dipati Pachaya.
Yeah.
Chanda.
And
Vimamsa. Okay, joke. Yes. Sahajata Adipati Pachaya. Anyamanya and Sahajata Pachaya.
Ahara Pachaya.
Maga Pachaya. I think wrong.
Right, rather than wrong, because we are talking about the truth of realities. But for vitaka, when it arises with akusala citta, it's wrong, because it will lead to wrong and wrong path.
Disappearance condition.
Disappearance condition.
Every condition.
Mm-hmm. This moment. So it's quite a reminder for us all. When we talk about anything, there should be understanding of that. Otherwise, it's only repeating and thinking. And is it possible, if there is no understanding of whatever is real, and talk about Pachaya, for example, sound. You say that sound is Pakatupanisya Pachaya, but what is sound, see? Or when we talk about citta, we can say that it's sahachata pachaya or sambhayuta pachaya, anyamanya pachaya. But if there is no understanding of citta yet, it's impossible to know how it is that such and such pachaya. So first of all, instead of thinking about just the word, because the word helps the understanding of reality as not self, but when one says that it's not self, what is it that is not self? Mm-hmm. Or just that which sees, seeing, hearing right now. Everything must be right now to understand the teachings. It's so true. No one can condition anything. Anyone feel cold?
No.
No. Really? Really? No, I just ask, in the sense of Dhamma. Leading to Dhamma understanding. But anything like, is someone feel cold now? Yes.
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 Without touching. Can there be the feeling of cold or coldness? No. Can you see coldness?
No.
But it's touch. It can be just touch. That's why we don't have to find out whether that is snow or ice or whatever. But it's that which touch, which is unseen. This is the most important, because no one can see that reality which can be touched at all. It's only idea thinking about tangible object and things like that, but actually it's the moment of being touched and what appears. For example, hardness or coldness appear at that moment. It's a reality which is a reality that no one can condition at all. And it does not stay as long as we think, very, very short. If someone tries very hard to find out the object which is touched, it's not the understanding. Can we call it wind, soft or hard? But we don't need to call it at all, because the characteristic is more important than the name.
Does it blow?
It seems to.
Now it's hot.
Lots of concept. Thinking about
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of story.
But maybe not to worry so much about the object. But it is possible to know that the object has risen and fallen away because of the experiencing of it.
Not at the very beginning at all.
No, theoretically, that's
because it doesn't say no.
Somehow we can understand, even on a very rough level, about how rapidly they fall away, because like immediately when we think about hardness and then already hear a sound and then think about something else and then feel the coldness. So when you consider that way, we can just understand a little bit about how fast these dhammas arise.
Cannot eradicate the idea of self until our reality appears to right understanding as it is, as not anything at all. What's the question? What is the answer for the question, what is seen?
Today he told me the sun. Yeah, sun is seen. Yeah, he told me.
You see?
Just now. Yeah.
Sound.
Sound is seen.
What is seen?
Okay, visible object.
Be truthful.
All right, you're asking me what I'm saying.
Concept.
Either realities or concept. Apart from realities and concepts, there's nothing else apart from
that. What you think, or what you know, or what you understand, or what you realize.
I like to think about.
Yeah. Without reminder, no one thinks about that which is seen at all. That's why in the scripture Buddha thought and taught about seeing and visible object all the times. From here to there, wherever he taught. As a reminder.
You like to talk about seeing invisible object.
Me?
Yes.
No.
So the question is, what is seen now?
What is seen?
What is seen? What is seen now?
Reality.
What reality?
You.
You, Sara, this is Sara, reality.
One can see the difference between intellectual understanding and the development of understanding what one reads or studies.
I see different colors, for example. I can see different colors.
Thinking, yeah.
And it's thinking.
Yeah. So that which is seen is enough at moment of seeing a reality. Only reality that can be seen, an element too.
contest looks nice, very nice. And these houses.
He saw houses.
He saw houses. The attachment fell up right after them.
Yeah.
My today question is, what happened to Citta when Arahat passed away? What happened to his Citta?
Anything at all. No more Citta, no more Citta seekers. Is that the best? No arising of Citta, Citta seeker in Rupa.
It is the end of this Citta.
Sufferings, of happenings.
Citta sinks.
The last citta is a death citta, right?
Yeah,
death
I know.
Normally, death citta followed by rebirth citta for everyone else. But for the Arahant, no rebirth citta after death citta.
Because no more conditions for citta to arise.
Right.
Thank you. Only visible object, only that which is seen. Only that, as soon as there is seen, there is that, and that's all.
But what about different
after that,
colors?
There is thinking.
Different moments of seeing.
After seeing, there is thinking.
There is thinking.
So that which is seen is just only a moment of seeing.
But is it wrong to say, I see different colors, or seeing sees
wrong,
different colors?
Because citta arises and falls where it succession.
Yeah.
What was your question?
Because Lucas said, I see different colors. I was wondering whether it's wrong or why it's wrong.
It's
thinking.
It's not wrong.
No.
But because it's thinking and seeing.
It comes in so fast. Yeah. And that's why it's so difficult to know what seeing is.
Nimitta.
Yeah.
So there are many nimitta.
Yeah.
Because of many cittas.
Yeah. I have a feeling that I still not quite understand it. But it's
because there is thinking about it.
Yeah.
But when there's understanding of that which appears, that's all. That's all. The next citta arises, and you see that it's not thinking, and not visible object.
Yes. This step to be taken is
understanding a reality.
Understanding, panya,
especially that which experiences and that which cannot experience, from experience, not from the name.
I think that everybody, every being has citta. Particular citta.
What is it? What is citta?
Because we said that citta is not somewhere, but is in inner
heart. Here, where is citta?
Right.
The citta?
No, but once I ask if the citta is here.
No, not outside the body, right? Somewhere in the body. You mean somewhere in the body. Where? Somewhere must be. Where? At moment of seeing, it's at the eye this. It's not the other place. But at moment of seeing is here, at moment of hearing is. If you don't think of your whole body from head to toe at all, only when there is hearing, there must be a place that citta arises to hear. Because citta is not away from the body, is not outside of the body.
Outside of the body.
So one can know that at moment of seeing, we don't have to think of the head or the toe or the lung, but that which condition or sees is there, right there. It doesn't see at the back. Wherever it sees is there. Citta is there. Because you usually think about the whole body, but do not think about the whole body, just at moment of seeing. Object to be forgotten. Yesterday, or forgotten.
Yes, yes, gone.
And today, is like this. Is like
right.
That's okay, when we can see how wise Buddha was. To become enlightened.
Then he has the question because he sometimes when he eats he feels stronger, but sometimes he doesn't feel as strong at other time. So he's thinking that this feeling of being strong doesn't necessarily come from food, but must come also from other things. So in terms of paramattha dhamma, how should we understand that? This is the question.
The body needs food, also the mind, or the citta also needs wholesome food too. Food for mind, citta, reality, and food for body.
Sometimes even if you eat food, maybe it's not as nutritious as other times. But there's so many other conditions for feeling strong.
The mind. The body needs food and the mind needs food too.
How about the body so strong but the mind so weak? Cannot rise up to Kusala level at all.
You understand?
Okay, I understand the Buddhism needs the body needs to feed and the mind we need to feed also. Yeah. Need to feed.
Good food for mind, good food for body. Healthy food.
And what about the sleep? Because when we eat and when we sleep well, we can feel stronger than when we eat, but we cannot sleep well.
Okay, but the most important thing is understanding that it's not self. You cannot force yourself to sleep. You cannot force yourself to wake up. There are dhamma. The best thing in life is understanding.
So
understanding that there's no self, there are conditions.
Okay, but for example, I don't understand anything, don't understand the reality. But when I can sleep, and then at that moment, there is no, how can I say, I feel stronger when I wake up, and so the food is the same, but feel stronger. So what makes it?
Because it's not just the body which is healthy. What about the mind, healthy or not?
So when you say that the sleep is good for the mind,
for the body.
So what about the meditation?
Let's say when you cannot sleep, what citta is there?
When cannot sleep, loha.
See. But if there is understanding, no matter you sleep or not sleep, right understanding can understand better than just.
But at the meditation situation, I mean, we can that there are no sleep at that moment, but the citta still experiencing.
Sleep. It's pavanga, it cannot understand anything. And if you understand the gift of understanding, the benefit of understanding, then you don't mind whether sleep or no sleep at all. Because no matter you sleep or not sleep, it depends on kusala citta or akusala citta. But if you sleep and at that moment no understanding, but when you do not sleep but you understand, it depends. What would you like? Or it's still you who just want the body to rest, to be healthy? What is more important? It doesn't matter because they go together. You cannot stop having worry and akusala moments, no matter you do have sleep or no sleep at all. It's all about you, always I, thinking about this and that for this body and the citta, which you take for self, but actually citta arises and falls away as anything like fire or wind or whatever arises, it falls away. That is another meaning of khanda, void from self, from sense, from essence. It's like anything which just arises and falls away. So what? Not you. But it depends on ignorance or understanding too. Because when there is no understanding, it is ignorance. And you take ignorance for I, or if even you don't take ignorance for I, it's there between ignorance and understanding. And without understanding, you cannot get rid of the idea of self at all.
But
and that is wrong understanding.
Yeah, the wrong understanding is there, but then it is like someone remind me that there is no understanding, there is no understanding at all, but still is someone later remind
on,
me.
Later on, when there's more consideration, more considering about that, then Panya begins to grow to see that actually whatever appears falls away instantly. What is left is only the image, the idea, nimitta. Like yesterday, see, there is no yesterday when it is today.
It's okay. Yeah, we come to at the very beginning. The body can feel happy.
The body.
And okay, the citta can feel healthy, and the body need to be fit, and the mind need to be fit. When we sleep, you can say that with Babaga citta, we don't the mind could be fit by that way, but
there is
it's
no
not
development of understanding.
Yeah, yeah. I don't say about the understanding of development of the understanding now. It's only the to fit the mind.
So the point is that one. Do you look at that?
Yeah, just very much.
So in conceptually, we can say that the sleeping is a fit to the mind when we don't understand yet the reality.
I think that usually we think about oneself, whether one would do this or that. We do not think about understanding. But what should be thought about must be whether can there be understanding here or there, or at moment of sleep, or when there's one doesn't sleep. It doesn't matter at all. Just leave out the I and understand reality, which is not very easy at all, but it's so real.
Not easy.
And at moments when there's understanding, how you feel? How does it feel at that moment?
I don't know yet if any moment I have understanding, so I cannot say that if it feel how I feel at that moment. Yeah.
This is understanding.
No, but it seems to me that it is thin.
No. Further than that.
just beginning to see what is real and what is not real.
Okay, it's real, but it's feeling me that it is from the teaching. It's not from from myself to
just
see.
Long story. Just is seeing real.
And that very moment. Yeah,
I see.
And consider more about seeing. If it does not arise, can there be any seeing right now? So see, beginning to understand. Seeing is uncontrollable. It cannot arise at will. Nobody can make it to arise at all. But it arises when there are conditions for its arising. This is understanding about a reality. Because you say the seeing is
I real. Cannot get the feeling at that time.
Not more
so,
than
so
that.
So
not
you
more
ask
than
me
that.
What you feel when you have understanding,
no, no, no.
I have no idea.
Like just be sure that seeing now is real and it's not you. No one can control it. It's conditioned. That's all. Little by little.
I think sometimes thinking can get you into trouble. just this moment. But sometimes thinking and reflecting is good because it can help you understand and reflect, understand. But to thinking about certain things, no need. Just be this moment, seeing, hearing, feeling.
But so often, more often thinking about what you see, the thinking comes in. So it's thinking is then the reality, but the seeing, very seldom, very seldom.
What do you mean by seldom? What do you mean by seldom?
By seldom.
Seldomly.
Seldom.
Seldom.
Not often, not often. Rarely, very rare.
Very rare.
Very rare.
So there is no seeing now, so it's so rare, or what?
Seeing all the time.
The seeing of the houses and the statue. It's the thinking,
the
I know.
I think means more thinking than seeing.
More thinking than seeing. Yeah.
But even though you can see uncontrollable Dhamma thinking, no control, you cannot stop your thought. Whether you want or not.
But do you think that is it possible to do you believe in the teaching?
Otherwise we sit all the time.